And now, the Monsters of the Monster Manual, with John.
The Holden Cuddle Bleep, a pseudo dragon, homunculus, and cautious when dealing with the cookatures, the stare, dragon, turtle, giant, hornet, elemental, and the bully, and there's Hydra and Hyena and the Mind Flayer, evil Ebolith and Dragonfish, Janny and Genies granting your wish, Pegasus and Ramaraz and Puddings, they are deadly, the Selkie and the Nixie, both Vampire and the Mummy, you'll find both of those in Ravenloft, you know. Minotaurs and mazes and the fiery theater daisies. You've got lizard men in caverns and the fearsome jackalware. Kowodle and Chimera and the purple womb is rarer. And then the sylvan centaur with the nymph and the nightmare. Displace a beast and ghost ghoul and elf. Chromatic dragons guarding the wealth. Wigger cobalt goblin terrorizing folks. Horsed around by hobgoblins and don't forget the orcs. Who's the slimes and jellies and the shambling undead zombie and the owlbear wandering the woods? And then there's Will-O-Wisp and Quasit and Skeleton Bandit, Budman and Ogre devouring helpless men, the mighty Medusa turned you to stone, Invisible Stalker and Golems made of bone, Imp, Lich, and Corrid make players moan, and halflings are in burrows over hanging out with gnomes. Sometimes a dwarf is there. Lycanthrope and all the regenerating trolls, Zonin's airing from the plain where under hulks roam, Unicorn and Treant and the Spectre Sprite and Giant, you want E and Yeti, aerial servants for your home, the Wyrm and Shadow and Kayfisher, Metallic Dragons but Bear Pisser, Harpy and Brownie, Spider Giant Frog, Bear Manticle, Slater Blink Dog, Rakshos, Carrion, Crawler.
Welcome back to Afterthought, the podcast where every other week we get together and talk about whatever the hell we want. John, how the hell are you?
I am so good. I'm so good because it has been a good week for System Mastery. Let me tell you, man.
It has been kind of a good week for System Mastery.
We got that goal.
Yeah, our Patreon ship done come in, and now we have to play Gamma World for you, the listener.
Oh,
with the help of Quinn and I think his friend Richard, I'm not sure.
Mayhap so.
I don't know. I know he's bringing in a couple of a guy or an extra guy
we
or two.
We got a ringer.
We got some extra fellas so that when we play the game, it's a correct number of players.
Indeed.
For massive Gamma World action.
Yeah, we got that. It's looking great. I'm super excited about that.
Yeah, we're all lined up to start recording. I'm not exactly sure when it's going to come out, but it is soon. We are all eager and champing at the proverbial bit.
Oh yeah, and we got Kubla Khan coming up in a couple weeks.
We'll be up in the Bay Area in your community if you are in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
And not in your community if you aren't.
If you lived there, you'd be home right now.
Yeah, or you'd be on vacation. I don't know.
Who knows?
Yeah.
If you lived there, you'd probably be, I don't know, on a commute right now?
If you lived there, you'd know whether or not you were home by now.
You would have more information about that than we would.
I mean, I know whether or not a few people in the Bay Area are home right now because I have friends there.
Because I track them.
Yeah, with darts. I have a lot of tagged friends in the Bay Area.
Yeah, I like to just go up to the Bay, tag and release.
All right, you get back out into that tech industry and you just run around and have a grand old time.
All right, you scamp, you get out there and socialize.
Oh, you invent a useless juicer.
Oh, what's the app you've got? Oh, that's adorable.
That's so it tracks your period. That's cute.
Look at you.
Oh, goodness. All right, so in addition to the Kickstarter and the Kubla Khan, we also received a friendly gift from our friends at One Shot RPG, some copies of their hit game Noisy Person cards.
Indeed we did.
Which I understand got him onto TV, got James on TV. That's why he was in LA. Remember that when we went up and visited and we played that game with him?
You remember?
He was keeping it a secret from us at the time.
Such a secret. Why?
Keeping a secret.
Why would he keep secrets from us?
I don't understand. You know, he's been keeping a secret from the people for like a month now, which is that we're joining his network. No, this isn't a joke. I don't have to cut this or anything. He's announcing today.
Is he?
Yeah. I guess you haven't been following up on his secret chat channel that
his
we're now members
secret
of.
Secret chat. Well, I've been gone.
Yeah, you've been off doing things.
Yeah, I've got a life. So I ain't about checking chat channels. I'm too busy living it up with my grandmother.
Come on. Oh, yeah. Is she one of them cool grannies, like with a skateboard and a rap song?
Yeah. She comes out. She's got her backwards baseball cap, and she's like, "Hey, kids,
bust a move."
And then she just does a sick ollie and then goes Benihana to Madonna in some sick air.
You playing some video games? I got next. Sonny. No.
What are you playing, Ryu? Fucking noob.
That crunchy guile action is where it's at. It's official. The announcement comes out today. We're joining the One Shot Podcast Network. So the reason I'm bringing this up, folks, and doing it early is because I don't want any of you to move any money anywhere.
Not freak out. The least.
What we're not doing is joining their ridiculous huge Patreon.
Yeah. What we're not getting is paid.
We aren't getting paid to do that. Honestly, it's a terrible deal. Why are we doing
this? Hold on, wait a minute.
quit your dumb network, James.
Look, guys, we're joining a network. We're getting nothing out of it, and then we're just going to give them all of our rights. So, hold on.
I quit your network. I quit it 1,000 times. No, it's.
I boo the network as his father.
It's a collaboration thing. We're joining so we can spend some time working on projects together. We're going to be doing more appearances on their network of shows. They're going to be showing up on ours. It's really more of a partnership than an actual business relationship. So if you're already one of our Patreon subscribers, as always, thank you. You don't need to do anything. Our Patreon's not going anywhere or changing in any way, and we aren't pulling money from theirs. So it's not a business transaction. We're just solidifying our friendship.
I do need you to know there is going to be a little bit of a content change. Obviously, we're going to talk a lot more about kissing. That's going to be a big thing now.
It's going to be 100% Grand Admiral Thrawn Kisses.
That's all it is.
Yeah, the new show, it's going to be called Thrawn Kisses.
Thrawn Kisses is 100% our new and only show.
And then if you look in that secret Patreon archive that they have over at One Shot, it's just Thrawn Kisses Midnight Express is the name of the bonus content that we're providing to them. It's the exact same show, except that there's sexy, sultry sax music under every word. And then Thrawn kissed her. He kissed her real deep. And then he kissed the guy that was there, too, even deeper than the girl was. And then he kissed another Thrawn. That's right, two Thrawns.
Double Thrawn.
Just really kissing into it.
Yeah. And then he was Thrawning real hard.
He got so Thrawned.
He Thrawned into the bathroom.
And then he just Thrawned around. He Thrawned up your toilet real good. Then he Thrawned out the window.
Welcome
us to the One Shot Network. We're proud to be a part of it. They're really good friends of ours, and we're looking forward to working with them. But again, you don't need to do anything except support us on Patreon.
You don't need to do anything except give us more money.
Just give us the same amount of money you were already giving us.
Look, if you were giving us money, double it.
and if you double it, triple it.
If you weren't giving us money, go away.
If you weren't giving us money, double it.
And if you were doubling it, triple it.
There we go. Give us triple the $0 you had been giving us.
I want you to add 3 zeros onto the end of what you were giving us. And then slide that right across the table to
us. There you go. $1.000001.
Oh, yeah.
So good.
Look at all them zeros.
Oh, that's like getting points.
That's like getting Reddit points.
So that's a new thing. I'm welcoming us to the One Shot Network.
Welcome us.
They really wanted a foothold in the West Coast is what's happening here. We're California-based, of course, and...
And soon we will be assimilated into their hive.
Yes, and we'll do nothing but talk about boy kisses and Star Wars.
That'll be us, then.
Yep, welcome to the team.
That's going on.
Hey, do you think we could just call the show Boy Kisses and Star Wars?
Oh, man, I'm pretty sure we could. I'm pretty sure we'd have a way bigger listenership if we did.
I think you might be right. I think people would mistake it because it's got boy in the title. They'd mistake it for a McElroy Brothers thing. Ooh, look at that. It's about a kiss boy.
See, if it was called Kiss Boy in Star Wars, then it would 100% be a McElroy joint.
Kiss Boys and the Star Wars. A Griffin McElroy joint.
Yes.
All right. Let's make that show.
Let's do that.
I think that's
our
new name.
That's
our new name for the Star Wars book review podcast.
Yes.
Kiss Boys and the Star Wars.
A Griffin McElroy joint. The whole thing.
All of that. And just see how long it takes for the phone call to come in.
Just see.
Hey, guys.
Hey, no, you can't do that.
You can't do that. It's funny, but I'm going to take it.
I'm definitely going to sue you.
I'm certainly going to say that exact phrase several times while playing Skyrim over Steam. All right, so this week on Afterthought, we, I guess it was Purgatory?
Yeah, we read Purgatory, which is a for matures only game.
Very matures only.
Actually, not really. I mean, this book did not have a lot of that, like, matures only content. When you look at a book and it says, you know, for mature gamers only, normally you're thinking, like, oh, God, this is just going to be blood tits everywhere.
Yeah,
isn't it?
It's just going to be a rape festival. It's going to be that Gilroy rape festival. They have, you know, it's really nice.
You know.
You can get that candied rape or that rape ice cream.
Rape seed is what we're talking about, of course.
Yes, of course. Rape seed, otherwise known as the stuff they make vegetable oil out of.
Yeah.
In any other country, it'd be called rape seed oil.
Yep.
But not here, because that sounds horrifying.
Yeah, but, you know, to us and our language... No, don't do that.
No, I'm accusing the tiny farming community in Central California of Gilroy of being the rape capital of the world.
Oh, but they've got garlic.
They have the best garlic, and it's an amazing place. And I can't wait for 2 weeks from now when we drive through there.
Just roll down the windows.
Just soak up that smell, that garlic smell. It works at 2 in the morning. It's the best. So anyway, moving on.
Yeah, no, the book didn't really have the whole, like, oh, yeah, and then everyone's... fucking, and there's titties, and then you got your head cut off with a chainsaw.
It started with some basic kind of, like, what am I looking for? I'm looking for, like, Bill Maher level social commentary at the start of the, like, that first story in the book was like, of course she died in this part of town. It's always been a bad neighborhood. And then you'd expect that she figured that she was dead, but maybe it just wasn't that bad.
Yeah, it's, the fictions in this are kind of nonsense, but whatever.
Yeah, it's just sort of, and then the neighborhood sucked, like a Bill O'Reilly novel, like every one of them.
Yeah, I mean, there's one where it's like two of the guys go to fight an angel, and you're like, okay, I get it, whatever.
Yeah, it just, I mean, it said for matures only, and maybe it was good that it did, but it certainly didn't quite earn it.
No, and that's what I'm saying, is it wasn't as bad as it could have been.
Yeah, well,
like,
you know,
as a for matures game, which we've seen a few of.
Yeah, at least this one had the you know, temerity to warn us in advance. Fatal is like, all of this is based on historical record. This isn't for matures at all.
Well, even like Human Occupied Landfill, it wants you to be like, oh, this is for matures. I'm like, this is the most immature thing ever.
Isn't that always the way it works, though, when it says, yes, like, for matures only? What it really just means is for 14-year-olds.
Oh, yeah. For kids that want to feel like badasses.
For a kid who's growing out his hair and keeping it in a ponytail so his mom doesn't notice how much he headbangs.
Yeah, so, you know, I'll give it a little bit of a kudos for that.
A kid who sneaks out of Sunday school so he can listen to Pantera.
Well, I mean, I did that. I mean, come on.
Well, yeah, Pantera rocks and Sunday school sucks. I'm on board.
No, man, Sunday school was great because I knew everything. Sunday school is awesome when you're a Christian because the answer to everything is just because Jesus loves me. And then, I mean, as long as you basically do that, you're fine. Like, that is the answer to 99% of questions.
I like to think it at least gets you an 80%. Like, it's like, ugh, this kid's so fucking dumb, but sure, sure.
You get the B.
You get a B on that. Good job. All right, let's see. Let's call on John next. John, can you name 5 of Jesus' apostles?
No, but that's because Jesus loved me and I don't need to.
That is correct. Very good.
Fine.
Here you, 5B.
All right, so why did the Maccabees? And you're like, no. Wrong Testament. No one cares.
Was it because Jesus loved me, though?
Was it because Jesus loved me?
All right, who did Ephesiah begat?
My love?
From Jesus?
Jesus?
That's probably right. Yeah,
yeah, it's probably.
That's good enough.
I'm not looking at the book. I don't care.
They don't pay me enough to look at the book. Diet Pepsi? That does sound good. You get a B.
Yeah, oh, man, Diet Pepsi. Yeah, I tell you what, you got an A if you go find me one. And this is why they should never let me teach anything.
It really sounds to me, based on your impression, that you're saying that like a gym teacher was your Sunday school teacher.
No, I mean, Sunday school teachers were always just the nicest old ladies that you could get. And
yeah.
They were like, yay, let's enjoy church. And you're like, okay, you're a nice old lady.
Let's sing a song. And it's the verses of the Old Testament. All right, so basically, you would have snuck out of Sunday school to listen to some sweet Pantera.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Okay.
But I mean, I want to say that I think there is a place for the matures if they do it so, at least a little bit more like this.
Yeah, it's
like,
Vegas.
The reason I'm doing like, oh, this has to be for mature is because I'm doing stuff that's like dealing with death and whatever,
mm-hmm.
but not because it's just all gore and titties.
Yeah. And that, you know, we've done several games that have kind of a mature sort of. Especially when we just finished up with the 200-word RPG review contest.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, a lot of those RPGs have what you would actually think of when you're an adult and you think the term mature themes.
Yes.
I mean, they have stuff where it's like, oh, put yourself in the shoes of a soldier trying to make his way to Kandahar. Or, you know, your family is dying slowly. How is that making you feel? How are you doing with that?
Well, what's going on with that? Hey, man, you got an incurable disease and you can't pay your hospital bills. How's that treating you?
I kind of like the callous New York delivery that we're giving to that.
Yeah.
Hey, yo!
That's how I read all of those 200-word RPGs that are very, like, deal with your emotions. It's always like, hey, you got a problem with your stuff down there, eh? Yeah, you're not working too good. You're probably going to die. Hey, yeah, how does that make you feel?
Hey, don't worry about it. We'll go on. We'll get some Capicola, some mortadella. Huh?
Hey, your best friend just died. You're on the street looking for him. What does that make you feel? I'm walking here.
God damn it. You sound like Andrew Dice Clay.
That's what I go to when I think of, like, horrible New Yorker voice.
Yeah.
I just immediately go to the Dice Clay.
I'm just really picturing him now, Andrew Dice Clay, explaining like a sad situation. Hey, yo, you're in a nursing home, and every day you lose another memory.
Yeah, no, the whole thing.
I forgot about the time I banged twins.
So yeah, that's...
So there are mature games out there. It is certainly a market that can and should exist. You know, honestly, I've been reading Masks, the Powered by the Apocalypse young superhero game.
Yes.
And for a game about young superheroes, the mature themes are really self-evident in there. It's really got... It's got these... The moves aren't just like, punch a guy, and his poop comes out. Is that dark and badass? Instead, it's like, you know, an adult is challenging your authority. How do you react to this?
Yeah.
Your team is losing respect for you. What do you do? It turns these parts of the story that are about thinking in a mature way into actual rule sets and plays with them, and that's the sort of mature I'm looking for more and more in a game.
Well, it's especially with that, it's the how do you go from something that would be normally immature to try and get it to maturity, like Monster Hearts, Masks, stuff like that is all about this area in between, this like gray area where you're, you know, not a child yet not a woman, and
yeah, if you're still not a girl and yet not yet a woman. Also, I, you know, there's definitely a point in Masks where it is very apparent that as a player you are too school for cool.
Yeah. Now there's also a point where, you know, you can grow up, and it happens, you know, girl, that you will be a woman soon.
That's true. That does come up. It's unfortunate, though, because as a player, I don't want to grow up, because if I did, then I might cease to be a Toys R Us kid.
Yeah.
That's a joke from the 80s.
Yeah. That's a double joke. It's off of Peter Pan right into Toys R Us.
Have you been to a Toys R Us in the past, like, 25 years?
Yeah, I've been to a Toys R Us with you. I mean, it was probably, like, 10 years ago, but still.
God damn it. We've been friends too long.
Yeah,
shut it down.
There's just one point where I think we were driving to get like Olive Garden or something, and we were like, dude, a Toys R Us.
Let's go in there. Oh
this is just Huffy bikes.
It's
and
just depressing.
Video games.
Too many video games. I have these weird memories of being a kid and wandering the Nintendo aisle as like a Toys R Us kid effectively.
Yeah.
And back then it was that the video games were all the back of the box, just in huge lines, and then underneath there were these pieces of paper you'd pull down to go give them to the person as a voucher.
Yeah.
And God, I remember that just being a wonderland of possibility. And now something has changed. I think it's just that I'm an adult, because when I go in there and look at the video games, I'm like, yeah, I know what all these video games are. I have seen their graphics. I am on the internet. It's not like you look at the one-page picture of like Axelay and be like, ooh, I wonder what this is.
Oh, yeah. Because back in the day,
you had no idea.
Wandering around your local video store looking to maybe rent something, and you're like, what is this? It's a Kabuki fighter? Yeah, sure. Why the fuck not?
Ooh, Shaq Fu? I got to know what this is.
Hold on. Bayou Billy? That sounds like a badass.
Oh, man. A kid named Bayou Billy? I wish I could live in the bayou and have a skateboard and a straw boater.
Dude, a boy and his blob? I'm a boy and a blob.
Together at last. I feed myself ketchup-flavored jelly beans constantly. Have you ever actually played that game? It's really hard.
I rented the hell out of that, and I don't think I ever even got past the first level. I could not figure shit out.
I've beaten it.
Went into the sewer and dicked around, and nothing.
It's an early example of the game where you really need to go online and figure it out. And seeing as that game came out in 1984, that's not an easy thing to do.
No, because the problem was you'd just sit there and you'd be like, all right, as a kid, the thing you had to do was go, all right, here's a jelly bean. I feed it to a blob. What does it do?
It turns into a ladder.
Write it down somewhere.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go to the next jelly bean and feed him that. And then as soon as I figured everything out, I have to restart because I'm down a whole shitload of jelly beans.
Yep. I remember being a kid and being like, ooh, the first ever Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game on the Nintendo.
Man, I was so good at that. But mine was sort of weirdly glitched out so that the rope you're supposed to throw between buildings didn't work.
Ooh.
Because I owned the game and it just didn't work, which means I could get through that dam losing nobody.
Yeah.
And I would be like, yeah, I'm a badass. And then I'd get to the point where I could only progress if I put a rope across a building and it didn't work. And I was like, well, that's me.
But you had the dam swim down to a science,
huh? Yeah, I could do that. No problem.
360 no-scope dam swim.
Oh, yeah. You'd just blindfolded and be like, watch this shit. Yep. I'm solving a Rubik's Cube while I do it.
I've done that. I've played the almost the entirety of the first half of Final Fantasy VI without looking at the screen. I know the exact ways to everything, and I just listen, and I'm like, oh, I'm out of combat. Time to start walking again.
Oh, yeah, man. I could do that for, at least the first few guys in Super Punch-Out.
Nice. Yeah, you can definitely get that done, too, because it's all done by sound cues.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, oh, that's a jab coming, Glass Joe. I got your number.
But later, you get to the ones you're like, oh, they have fake-out noises, so you can't quite do it.
You have no idea what that glamp glamp noise that King Hon or King Hippo is about to make is.
Oh yeah,
who knows?
Who knows?
He always says glamp glamp.
Wow, wow,
glomp 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 glomp. Burf. All right, so what the hell are we talking about?
We're talking about old video games
and matures.
Here on the old video game podcast.
Here for matures only. Like that one that was just a bunch of people that were tied to walls and you had a light gun and you just shot bits off them.
Wow.
That's a real... I can never remember what it's called. I want to call it Splatterhouse or something.
Well, Splatterhouse was for the TurboGrafx.
All right, so it's not that. Someone tell me what the game I'm thinking of is, please. It was a bunch of pictures of haunted house scenes and then you just blew them up with a gun. That's all it was. Nothing happened to you.
Sounds awful.
It was awful, yes. There was no danger to you. You just gored up the room a whole bunch and then moved on to the next room.
Well, that is straight up for matures only.
Yeah, no, that's what it is. Or the Atari sex games that existed back before people figured out that they need to have moral codes on games, I guess.
Well, yeah.
Have you ever played any of those? Have you ever played Custer's Revenge?
No.
Oh, my God. Custer's Revenge might be the worst game of all time.
Well, yes. I mean, it is famously awful.
Yeah. But, I mean, the gameplay is also bad. It's not enough that you're raping some Indian tied to a pole, but also the game kind of sucks.
But also.
I mean.
Yeah, that's the real problem here.
The real cherry on this shit Sunday is that the game isn't very good.
Such small portions.
This is horribly rapey and racist. Also, the gameplay is like a C.
Yeah, so, because I am a game reviewer, I only give it a 9 out of 10.
GamePro says, Custer's Revenge, 9.1 out of 10.
Game of the year.
Game of the year, do not play.
Well,
goodbye, everybody.
Let's get to some questions, man.
Oh, I guess we could get to some questions.
Because we've talked about matures before.
Yeah, we really have. All right, here we go.
I don't want to retread too much shit.
But I'm having fun.
Also, let me just say, if you're using cards as your resolution mechanic, I feel like it should have, I don't know, something more to do with the game.
Yeah, that was kind of a disappointment. Also, your game shouldn't have the spinning coin in its name when it's about cards.
Yeah, that is also true.
Just putting that out there.
Don't be like, this is the D20 system. It only uses six-sided dice. And you're like, what? God damn it, stop that.
This is the D6 system. It's played with spoons.
All right. This is the spoon system. It's played with ham bone.
Well, that makes sense now. Now I'm on board.
Now, see? And now we know what our next RPG is.
Our next RPG is going to be...
the ham bone RPG.
The ham bone RPG. To start this game, assemble a jug band.
The ham bone universal role-playing system, or herps.
It's
used. Do you have herps?
All you need for herps is a ham bone and a universe. All right, here we go. Dear J&J Security, why do role-playing game authors always come up with the worst names for things? In particular, names for bands, rappers, and street gangs. DJ 10 Ton Badass is only the most recent example. Sincerely, Lumbermouth.
I mean...
You know what would be a great name for a DJ, by the way, is Lumbermouth.
Right?
Yeah.
DJ Lumbermouth would be fine.
DJ Lumbermouth sounds like an amazing DJ or kind of fish.
It always smacks of trying way too hard.
Yeah. Because then again...
Sometimes if it was just like, what is this? It's DJ Death Spin or whatever. You're like, okay, well, I don't care. But when you get to like 10 Ton Badass, you put too much in there.
Yeah, it's a few too many words. But then again, to be fair, and I'm trying to be very fair here to RPG authors, have you ever tried to like come up with a Juggalo name on the spot?
A Juggalo name?
Yeah, let's just do that. Let's
yeah,
just
like
pick
Mark? Mark. You know who you are.
You know who you are, several Marks who are Juggalos. No, I mean like, you know, like a Shaggy 2 Dope equivalent.
Yeah.
Try one. Try one. Go ahead. Give me a good made up new Juggalo name.
All right. Funky Hair Spin.
You know what? I'm giving it to you.
Yeah. You got it in one.
Funky Hair.
Funky Hair Spin. Done.
Funky Hair Spin.
Print.
The thing is, I feel like that might also be my favorite Hanna-Barbera cartoon.
Here in the Wacky Races, Funky Hairspin takes the lead.
Hey! Guys, I've got a funky jam and I needs to speed.
He just, like, has the way he flies around, his hair spins.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like tails.
That's the worst. All right, let's see here. You're right, though. I think it's just because...
I think it's just that, like I was saying, they try too hard to make it sound cool. You can always tell... when someone is trying to make something sound cool.
Yeah. I mean, the last game that we did before Purgatory that had that problem was the X-Crawl D&D game, which had a lot of, like, DJ Annihilator Deathface.
Oh, yeah. Like, some of them were okay. You're like, what is this? Oh, it's just, like, DJ Destruction. And you're like, okay, that's fine. Sure, that yeah. flows. But as soon as it gets to, like... DJ Slip into Darkness, and you're like, no.
I mean, some people can come up with names, and some people can't come up with names. Like, think about it. Think about the eras of X-Men.
Wolverine. I mean, think about it. Right now, there is a kid named Khaleesi, and she's going to get married to a kid named Kylo.
Kylo is a really popular name this year, and it's very true that eventually there's going to be a Kylo married to a Khaleesi.
And it's just going to be the goddamned worst.
And their kids
I'm going to be an old person who just sits there and shakes their head and is like, God, fucking kids.
And the name of their kid? You guessed it. Frank Stallone.
And that's right. Their kid was Albert Einstein.
and then everyone stood up and clapped. We've been married for 5 years since. And then the bully said, that kid is inhuman.
And then a Marine walked up and punched my professor.
All right. Let's move on to the next one. It's because it's actually kind of hard. I mean, think about it. Think about poor, let's go with Liefeld in this situation. Poor, what's his first name?
Jim Bob? You're thinking of Jim Lee, man. Quit thinking of Jim Lee.
No, I'm thinking of Rob Liefeld. Rob Liefeld can't name an X-Men character to save his life. So all of the bad guys he came up with over time just have names that describe nothing.
Yeah.
They're always named things like Omegath. And you're like, what is that? I don't know. I just think it sounds cool. I'm a red guy with generic energy powers.
Hmm.
Okay. What about you? I'm Forearm.
I've got four arms.
Think about it. What about you? I'm Locus. Well, I shouldn't give her a deep badass voice because she's a teleporty character.
Yeah, whatever.
And a girl, but whatever. He can't name X-Men characters, but X-Men characters are not that difficult to come up with names for. There are just certain people that can't do it.
Yeah, no, some people are just like, I'm going to name you Blood Shit. And you're like, okay, great, thanks, Liefeld.
Do I have the powers of bloody shit?
No, it has nothing to do with what you are.
No, your power is swords and guns.
My name's Grifter. Okay, well, are you like some guy that like cheats people? No, I just have mask and guns. Okay, so why are you named Grifter? Well, I don't know.
Grifter is definitely one of the low points of those characters, isn't he? Like, he's got that cool-looking mask. You can't take that away from him. That mask is fairly cool.
Yeah, he's got a little napkin on his face. That's great.
He kind of has Christmas colors going on, because as much as he's just dressed like in a trench coat and a terrorist mask, it's green and red.
Yep.
So he's kind of a Christmas elf with a terrorist face, and his name is Grifter, and his only power is gun shooting. I think. Does Grifter have a power?
Not that I know of. All I can remember of Grifter is that he shoots guys and is, like, sarcastic badass. He's basically a non-powered Deadpool.
Right.
Because that's what Rob Liefeld keeps making, is that character over and over again.
A character that he didn't create, but I always think he did because the name is so bad, is Elsa Bloodstone. Because Elsa Bloodstone's been in Marvel for, like, forever with her dumb name and her indistinct nothing of power set. She's just always back there with a ponytail and a trench coat and running around looking like a Liefeld creation.
Yeah. I mean, there were just some during that era where you're like, what are you? I'm M. Okay, what do you do? I don't know. I have vaguely defined powers.
Can't she, like, sharpen herself or something?
Her whole thing was like, oh, I'm like an Omega level mutant and I kind of know it and I'm a cocky, like, jerk, and then no one really defines my powers occasionally. It's like, what can I do? I don't know. Scratch people?
Those early New Mutants had the worst dumb powers.
Skin.
Mondo.
Yeah, it was just the worst.
Yeah, like, I can't name what any of those. I don't know what Mondo did.
And then,
like, rainbows or something.
He was, I think he was like Absorbing Man or something, where he could turn into stuff.
Yeah, skin I actually kind of liked. He just had prehensile skin and not the rest of him.
Oh, God.
So it was just ugly and gooey.
Yeah, and then they were taught by Banshee and the White Queen, which was the dumbest combo ever.
I have like five of those comics, because I picked them up in some combo pack at some point, and they were all the ones where Wolverine came to visit and had to fight a bird spirit in their garden.
Wow.
Yeah, and he beat the bird spirit by shooting force of the waves of his own mad at it. He was like
wow.
Mad, and he would shoot mad at the bird.
And then he'd throw Mad Magazine at it.
All these copies of What Me Worry and Spy vs. Spy battered the bird spirit away. The lighter side of the post office? No! Next question. I guess. Hello from Brexit Land. Sorry for not emailing for a year or so, but I was captured by Romulans / have depression. Delete as applicable. Okay. Anyway, before I ask some questions, I have some remarks about the latest system mastery at time of this email, Purgatory. Why hasn't anyone got the Holy Grail yet, when only the penitent man may pass? So, okay, John, why hasn't anyone gotten the Holy Grail yet?
Well, probably because no one's penitent.
That's pretty much true, yeah. Well, no, everyone's a penitent. That's the joke. Remember, because it's Purgatory, every character is called a penitent?
Yeah, but they're not there.
Well, they have to die near there. I don't know if there's a Purgatory zone near there where they could go and get the Grail. But even if they could, doesn't matter. You can't take the Grail out of that room, right?
Well, plus it collapsed.
Yeah, it collapsed, so...
So even if the penitent man did pass, he'd pass right over it because it went in a crack.
Yeah, yeah. So there you go. I guess you could dig it out of there now.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, it could be ours. And mine.
All I have to do is reach out for it. I can reach it.
Let it go, son.
Genital Bridge sounds like a new metal band. We're just getting comments here.
Okay.
I think I said Genital Bridge at some point during that.
Maybe.
And yeah, okay, it does kind of sound like a new metal band, you're right. Or just a song. Like, I could see that as like a Tom Waits song. Isn't there a Liz Phair song called Hot White Cum? I could see maybe her doing a Genital Bridge.
Sure, why not?
You've heard that song, right? It's like...
No, I have not. Why would I have heard that song?
You've never heard Liz Phair? I think it's Liz Phair. Please, people, tell me if I'm wrong. I think it's Liz Phair has a song where she's like... Get your cum all over me. It's making my face look amazing. Give me your hot white cum.
Wow.
I've heard the song before, so I'm pretty sure it's real. I just don't remember if it's Liz Phair or not.
Well.
Yeah. One way to find out, wait for the internet to tell me. If the penitent are zombie ghosts, why don't the Templars hire John Freeman? Gordon Freeman's brother.
So there was a YouTube series about Gordon Freeman's brother.
Okay,
made with Gary's mod, and I know nothing about it outside of, because it was Gary's mod, it was dumb.
So, okay, Gordon Shumway's brother.
Yeah.
So Gordon Shumway's Alf. I'm up to that. okay, anyway, moving on. Sorry about that. We don't know enough about your joke. I apologize. This is on us. This is not on you.
It is on you. You failed us.
Rolf is one of my favorite Muppets. Okay, good. Having seen the Bible multiple times, not only did Paul send many opossums, but he must have really liked Corinth because he sent them three.
Yeah.
Oh, that's our joke about how Paul was sending opossums to people.
Yes.
Okay, I'm back to speed on that one. That I like having being reminded of. That was a good gag.
I like being reminded of jokes.
That was a good one. All right, and now two questions. Daddy or Chips?
Chips.
And the Chips are fries in this situation.
Yeah, well, obviously Chips.
He is from Brexit land. Okay.
I don't want Daddy. I want big baby Chips.
And I want some sugar, Wolf. All right. And the next question. If you could have one futuristic item that doesn't currently exist, what would it be and why?
A teleporter.
You're going with a teleporter?
I'm going with a teleporter because I am so lazy.
Okay. Where would you teleport with your teleporter? First place.
I mean, basically anywhere. Oh, probably here. Just to be like, I got a fucking teleporter, and then I'd flip you off and then teleport away.
Well, you probably wouldn't find me here because my answer would be time machine.
Oh, yeah, but I'd teleport to wherever you went in time.
No, it's
I teleport through space and time.
It's not a time teleporter.
I have a TARDIS. Get out.
That's like five things.
I have a TARDIS, but it's also a battleship, and and it's cool, and it's my friend.
I have a time-traveling force field robot sex pizza.
Coming soon on Rick and Morty.
And my grandson wants the sex pizza.
I just thought it would be cool, you know, get a souvenir.
Right.
Oh, jeez.
All right, let's move on to the next question. Thank you for reading and for helping me get through work with your podcasting goodness, Joseph Gurkuman Adams. All right,
next one.
Thank
you, Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Joseph Gordon Shumway. Dear System Mastery, I am a graduate student of religious studies, not to be confused with theology. Those are future priests and pastors, and as such, I hate how religion is handled in most every role-playing game. I've seen so many books that try to describe how all the races shit, but when they have to write about gods and religion, it's almost always Greco-Roman paganism with a new thin paint job. Am I right to be so annoyed? Have you seen RPGs where you feel religion was done well? May you live the life of Drukpa Kunli, divine madman of Bhutan, hero protagonist. So, game where religion is good.
I mean, we have talked about this before a lot on the podcast of just games that do not understand religion. One, with the problem of faith not existing because
you know
when
the gods
exist.
Yeah, I think the best games for gods are the ones where you play them. Because that way you can rewrite the stories and it ends up being a little better.
A little bit. Yeah. And then at least you can add your own flavor. If you want to do something that's like, okay, instead of doing the sort of like Greece or Christian or something like the more Western normal ones, then you can get into different religions.
Yeah.
Though, honestly, you're probably going to be on your own on that one. The rest of your gaming group, probably not as into it as you are. Unless you know, you manage to get your entire religious studies class together and be like, hey, guys, we're doing it. We're doing a cool game.
And there's nothing we like better than doing the same thing we spend all day doing as a hobby.
Oh, hell yeah.
Nah, get me into some of that. What do I do all day? Work on databases? Let's make a database role-playing game.
Fuck yeah.
And John, you could have a role-playing game about nothing.
Yeah.
Some kind of Seinfeld role-playing game.
Some kind of Seinfeld game.
Roll to moops.
This is what I do all day. I don't know that you can turn just jerking off into a role-playing game. But
on a 10 or higher, the cinnamon babka is the greatest of babkas. If the roll is below 10, it is the humble chocolate babka.
All right, I'm going to roll to Mama Celeste.
Oh, you failed. I'm afraid there is no soup for you.
But I'm master of my own domain.
So, I don't know. I think games like Exalted and stuff where you actually play as the gods are kind of the one example. Nobilis is certainly a fascinating game. Granted, Nobilis puts so many thin layers of veneer and flowers and what have you over it that it's not obvious necessarily that you're just playing gods. But if you strip all that away and go, this is a rule set for playing nascent ne'er-do-well gods, then it's a great system for that. And the gods that come out of it are, come out of your own imagination. So they're not just, I am Zeus, the god of electric sky bolts. My son, Smercules, is the mightiest.
Yeah.
At smiling.
It's just, you know, most of the people writing games don't have a religious studies degree and so do not know shit but what they are exposed to.
And Lord help us if they do, because then they just straight up put Christianity in the game and it's the worst.
No, if they have religious studies, then it just becomes all about that. It's the same thing like if I've got a physics degree and I write an RPG, you had better believe there are rules about trajectory for missiles.
Oh, God, there's always rules about trajectory for missiles. I hate them, stupid Phoenix Command type games. All right, let's move on. Next question comes to us from Nameless Nick, who says, Jeff and John, do you see a correlation between the type of people who absolutely love Warhammer 40K and the clown shoes, without the clown shoes, and the likelihood that they believe in white genocide? The themes of that game's universe reflect the sort of xenophobia and self-aggrandizing behavior, and I'm not sure that they implicitly promote it. I know you guys were in the scene for a while, and I'm kind of looking at it from the outside in. Thanks, Nameless Nick.
I mean,
I've never met anyone who I would associate as a white supremacist because of their 40K habit. I mean, I understand it because it's the same problem that you see anywhere in role-playing games, which is that eventually parodies of fascism turn into glorifications of fascism.
Yeah.
That seems to be sort of an inevitable slide within the industry. Like, for example, the Coalition from Rifts. Eventually, the Coalition switches over from, oh, these guys are just skull-obsessed Nazi idiots, to, here's a book about them called The Heroes of Mankind, Coalition War Book 5. Where you're like, okay, so this is just unapologetically glorifying them now. Now, I'm not saying that Simbita is a fascist. Of course not. He's actually kind of a nice old dude. It's just that eventually you have to start writing cool stuff about your core army units.
Well, you know, it's one of those things where you can tell when a player's like, hey, why am I playing the Marines? Because they're good right now, and I don't actually care about it. But then you've got some guy who's like, I have lovingly crafted my Kriegsmarines.
Ugh, yeah.
And here's my Imperial Guard that's all in Nazi uniforms with red armbands, but they're not Nazis.
I mean, that kind of guy was going to find some excuse to ruin someone else's hobby no matter what you did.
Oh, yeah.
That guy was going to show up at a video game tournament and pick the most Nazi-looking guy. Like, that's just what they are. They're just a horrible person. Also, since there's an IG faction that's just straight up World War II Nazi uniforms with gas masks, that's where they're always going to end up going.
Yeah, and it is one of those things where, yeah, you can look at it and go, man, that's a really cool-looking thing. But then, of course, you also have to understand that you're playing Nazis. And if you don't understand that, then you just, man, the lack of self-awareness for a lot of 40K players for that, who are just like, no, man, the Imperium are the good guys. Marines are the best. I'm like, well, dude, you have not realized what's going on here.
But that's the thing, is that neither does GW at a certain point. At a certain point in the 80s, GW was like, oh, the Marines are big, dumb soccer idiots.
Oh, yeah.
They were all like
well, no, it was back then it was, oh, yeah, Marines are fascist. Like,
yeah.
That was the whole thing with them, is you had your soccer hooligan orcs and your dumb fascist police Marines, and everything was sort of goofy and cheeky, but also, you know, a little more, because they weren't a huge company, they could be like, ah, fuck the man.
Right.
But screw you, Jerry's.
But then at a certain point, they had to suddenly become, they had to make the game more realistic, because they were trying to make it more badass and interesting. And when they made it more realistic, they could either make the Marines into actual fascists and thus turn a whole bunch of players who had goofy fun armies into, your army is seriously bad guys. Like, you should feel bad for playing them. They had to be like, no, they're fucking American goddamn superheroes or whatever. And people were like, yeah, but they're horrible Nazi fascist assholes. Well, yeah, don't worry about it, was the only answer that they could possibly give you.
Yeah, I mean, they just kept going, yeah, but it's necessary because it's the only thing that keeps the horrible Xenos out.
Yep. Well, so, I mean, like I said, I've never really met anyone in particular that I is so associated with their army in 40K that you can kind of go like, oh, yeah, it makes sense that you're a Space Wolf player because you're like this. But except for our friend Russ.
Yeah, Space Wolf players are like this.
Our friend Russ is very clearly an orc in real life.
very, very clearly.
Yeah, and so him playing the orcs in 40K makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Like, the only kind of sense. There was no way he was going to play anything but orcs because he himself is an orc.
Indeed.
Yeah, so that made sense to us. All right, let's see. We got another one here from Rikotma, who says, I was reading through an RPG, and in the skills section, I came across the good old romance skill, which said it only worked on ladies. Usually, this is dumb, but I wonder, is in this specific case, is it fine? The game is called Beat to Quarters, and it is a historical Age of Sail game. It tries to run a fine line between actual history and historical fiction. Everyone is in the British Navy and on the same ship, and thus must be a dude. Since you are in the Navy, you are under the Articles of War historical, one of which is any buggery and you are put to death. So the romance skill used on another man, and you get caught, is a death sentence, which would lead to a super dark game if the captain of the ship, always an NPC, is just killing PCs. Otherwise, it looked like a neat little game and I wouldn't mind playing or running it, Rikotma. So.
However, that also means that lesbians and bisexual women 100% supported by that because romance only works on ladies.
Well, okay, but here's the thing. Just because buggery was illegal on Navy ships in the Age of Sail under the British doesn't mean it didn't happen. It happened constantly.
Oh, yeah. You know your captain's sitting there with a quartermaster like, this is so illegal, but kiss me. Kiss me deeply.
That's the
Give
thing.
Give me that kiss, kiss boy.
We could be...
Now let's talk about Star Wars.
We could be put to death for this. That is so hot. Get it in me. Do it. I mean, that's...
Do it now.
That's the thing. In a game where buggery is literally a death sentence, all of a sudden buggery is the coolest thing you could possibly do. So I don't know that it necessarily works as a skill. Granted, there was a lot of seduction and gay sex happening on Navy ships. It would probably be more realistic to recognize that it probably didn't have a whole lot to do with romancing.
Well, see, there you go. Romance is only for when you're off the ship.
They should have. I guess there's the question. Does the game have placid afternoons of unhurried buggery?
The RPG.
The skill.
Coming soon.
Or just the buggery skill. Does it have that? Because if it doesn't, then the game is bullshit. If it does, I'm saying equal time and it's fine.
Yeah.
Right? You're with me on this. That game needs rules for buggery.
Yeah, give me 3 pages on buggery rules, and we are good to go.
Is there also a rule? Is there also a skill for rum or for the lash? Because once you have those 3 things, you pretty much got the British Navy all written down.
Yeah, even to this day.
To this very day. Rum, sodomy, and the lash. All right, let's see.
I'm pretty sure that's on their coat of arms, right?
Probably. There's certainly something on their coat of arms, let me tell you.
Hey, hey! getting back to that Liz Phair.
I really hope that is a Liz Phair song. I'll tell you what, that's going to be the outro of this episode, if I'm
tell
right.
Tell you what.
I tell you, boy. All right, let's move on. Next question. Dear Norwegian hunks who recorded Take On Me, what does Take On Me actually mean as a phrase? What does it actually convey? Myrdradek.
Oh, well, it conveys that I want you to take me on.
Take on me?
Yeah, take me on.
But I feel like if I do that, then you'll stick around. Is that accurate?
No, I'll be gone.
Oh, shoot. Well, like in a while, though, right?
Nah, it'll be like in a day or two.
Oh, okay. Well, that doesn't seem very promising to me then. All right, so what does take on me mean in that context?
Real answer, take on me seems like take a chance on me.
Yeah.
Take a chance on me.
It seems like an ABBA song. That's
yeah.
Weird.
I don't know why it sounds like an ABBA song, but it does.
Huh. All right. Well, I can see that. Yeah. Take a shot at us, basically.
Yeah. Take me on, like, as an apprentice.
I will complete a masterwork journeyman project, and then I shall open a silversmithing business of my own, says the singer of A-ha.
I can see that as an Associated Press headline. Yeah.
Lead singer of A-ha opens small silversmiths.
Also, the Silversmiths sounds like a great band.
Actually, it really does. They could sing a bunch of songs about how meat is murder.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm on board with that. Okay. So I think that's what it is. I think it's take a chance on us is basically the idea behind Take On Me for a serious answer. Also, rad Norwegian hunks, right? Now, should the romance skill work on Norwegian hunks?
Obviously.
Like, let's say your Age of Sail British ship had to briefly stop in Norway, and there's some rad Norwegian hunks working the dock. Like, just just real hunks, like big hunky men.
Well, the problem is it's not going to work because you're British. That's, so obviously you're going to go up to those hunky Norwegian men and be like, oh my, I say, have you ever thought of buggery? And they'll be like, I think of it all the time. I don't know why I went Austrian with that. That
they're,
was weird.
They're Austrian Norwegian hunks.
Obviously. I think it's because I had hunk in my head and I went
closer,
Arnold.
You would have been closer if you had just gone Swedish chef.
Oh, yeah.
Have you considered any illicit buggery activity?
In the butthole.
That's, all right. That's what the Age of Sail game needed.
Yep.
We figured it out. We cracked that code.
Denzo.
Dear Afterthoughts, my wife bought some cheap-ass jewelry from your store a couple decades ago and would really I'd really like this one pair of earrings. Do you still have any stores in operation? She would like to get some more. Thanks, Sum Dug.
No,
by the way,
sorry.
DJ 10-ton Sum Dug would be perfect.
DJ Sum Dug?
DJ Sum Dug would have been way more badass than DJ 10-ton Badass. Just DJ Sum Dug.
Yo, I'm DJ Sum Dug.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, no, we got no more jewelry left. We've sold off that to a competing podcast.
It's all
podcast.
In Hamfellows now, yeah. It's a competing podcast. It's all called Shiny Jewelry Boys now.
Yeah, that's all it is now. They're gobbling up the market.
Oh, those McElroys. They've got a finger in every pie.
Hey, back to that Liz Fair.
They've got a finger in every boy. Wait a minute. Do you think that would actually make a pretty good my brother and me, like, slogan? My brother and me. A finger in every boy. I'd buy that t-shirt.
Yeah. Who wouldn't?
I don't know. People with something to hide?
Something to hide. Like romance.
No, we do still have stores, of course, but we just sell t-shirts at them.
Yeah. Just t-shirts.
Just t-shirts and onesies and mugs and sweatshirts and laptop cases. Folks, let me tell you all about how great TeePublic and what's the other one? Cafe Press are. You can buy so much of our dumb logo on all kinds of stupid things.
If you just want like a big picture of a cheese dude on a rug, go for it.
You can do it. It's high enough res that you can put it on your curtains and shit. Cafe Press is amazing.
Look, if you just want like a dick pic on a tapestry, you can do it through Cafe Press.
That's the trick. We don't have any of our designs on Cafe Press right now, although I did use it to make those steins we used for our big event when we went to the Kingdom Con Drunk Quest, which I don't know if we mentioned that on the podcast before, that we both won.
Yeah, because we're badass.
We're the best at drinking, is what it is. Both of us. I had to drink the equivalent of 15 hard ciders that night. Well, I didn't have to. I just kept going.
I didn't have to.
I just kept going. There was a point where John was like, hey, you've been done for like half an hour. Do you think you should stop drinking? And I was like, no. They keep giving me free hard cider.
All I need to do is lift this cup up and someone comes around and puts cider in it.
I'm going to drink that cider.
Fucking what?
This is the best. Look, every other con in the world, why don't you have Drunk Quest night? Let's get it done. It's amazing. It's the best thing you could possibly do. A bunch of kegs, a buy-in, five people per table, big winners. It's the best. Make it happen, please.
The best.
We'll go to any con in California that has Drunk Quest. We'll just do it.
Yeah, we will go to any con in San Diego that has Drunk Quest.
It's got to be in San Diego or the greater San Diego area.
We will go to any con in my house that has Drunk Quest.
I own Drunk Quest. Would you like to play Drunk Quest?
Is it a convention?
It is if we have three more people.
Sweet.
It's a convocation of gatherings, we'll call it. All right, let's see here. We'll move on to a prosperous Wu-Tang Wednesday to both of you and yours.
And to you.
Yes, indeed. I enjoyed the episode a few weeks ago where you had the creator of The Legend of the Secret of Zuron on to discuss his game. Have you considered having any filmmakers on to discuss their movies in relation to movie mastery? Zack Snyder would be a good get. DJ Big Bird. Again. Better than DJ 10-Tongue Badass.
True.
Yeah, also DJ Snuffleupagus would be perfectly fine.
Yeah, that would be way more of like the Candy Raver type, though,
that,
I think.
Yeah, you're right. I could see DJ Snuffleupagus with like a top hat and like 15 candy necklaces.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because you know people are getting high as balls at DJ Snuffleupagus' shows.
That's true. And every time he stops the music, it's so he can choose from one of his 15 pacifiers. It's like, oh, not this one. Let's get the good pacifier.
Let's not go to that pacifier.
That's really more of a Tuesday pacifier.
Rave this is the pacifier for company.
Rave culture was so stupid.
What the hell were we talking about?
The question was, should we try to get some of the creators of the movies that we've watched?
Oh, yeah, obviously. Obviously we should.
I feel like we should probably go after actors. I mean, we've reviewed two movies with that guy from Deathgasm in them now.
Yeah, man. If we got him on, I'd be like, bro, what is up?
Oh, dude, let's reach out to him. Let's like, dude, we keep finding you in movies that we hate. Could we talk to you about how your movies are stupid and we think you're great, though?
Oh, no, man. Deathgasm is amazing.
Deathgasm is amazing.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, it isn't. Deathgasm, however, is amazing.
Deathgasm is an amazing movie. I want to meet that guy and know his secrets.
I want to plumb the depths of your knowledge.
I want to copy his drink. I mean, I know it's probably just some sort of stupid New Zealand beer.
Oh.
Future Vegemite, it's called, I'm guessing.
Oh,
wait, are they Vegemite or Marmite? Which one are they?
Well, I mean, Australia's Vegemite.
Okay, so
right?
They're Marmite.
Yeah.
Yeah, autolyzed yeast extract.
Mmm.
It's beer leftovers.
It's made out of leftover marmosets.
There are very few leftover marmosets in
New
Zealand.
Because they keep getting turned into Marmite.
Well, also because they're not native to there. But you know what? Never mind. It's fine. Oh, my goodness. All right. So, folks, that's the last of the questions we have for this week. In summation, once again, I've got to remind everyone that we are now joining the One Shot Podcast Network. This does nothing for the people.
Yeah, for us.
For us.
Or for them.
No, we've got some. We get perks. We get perks on the back end. They're just
yeah,
not...
we do.
A
good
finger,
day, sir.
A finger in every boy.
I say.
Have you considered a placid afternoon of unhurried buggery?
Bort, bort.
I'm going to take that as a firm maybe.
Burny, nerny, burny, girl. Lay you down and do your bert.
God damn it. So, again, we've joined the One Shot Network. It doesn't mean anything. Our Patreon's going to stay separate. Our bonus content's going to stay separate. We're just part of the network in terms of we are now their face when it comes to Southern California, and woe betide unto them.
Yeah.
They made a terrible choice.
You idiots. We're going to take you for a ride. I'm going to take you for a ride.
The Black Barn is filling up. They're not idiots. We're going to do a good job. We'll do good work for them here in California.
We're good boys.
We're good boys.
Ooh.
Wait a minute. Did we just join my brother, and me? Or is it the Max Fun Network?
What are we doing here, huh? What's going on?
We're
going
to keep saying boys.
Is this entire podcast really going to go full circle with everything?
Yeah.
Are we going to make every reference again?
Every joke shows up again. All right, so we've joined the One Shot Network. Look forward to us working with them more and more in the future. Otherwise, thanks so much for listening. As always, you can support us at Patreon. If you do so, you get access to our fancy bonus content, which is pretty good. People seem to really like it. And again, thanks so much for supporting the Patreon to the point where we've got a new series coming out. We're going to be doing the Gamma World game, starting with some character creation stuff. I'm not sure when that'll be out, but as soon as we have the details, we're going to announce them all over. If you have afterthought questions for us, you can send them to us at systemmastery@gmail.com or leave them on our Reddit or our Twitter or our Facebook, which are all, as you guessed it, called System Mastery. John, you got anything else you want to add?
No, I'm just rubbing my beard against the microphone. So if you hear anything weird, it's that.
Thank you. Thank you, John.
Welcome.
All right. So thank you so much for listening. And you guys have a great week.